Some of you may not know, but I grew up along the south shore of Long Island in New York, and the ocean was such an important part of our life. Anytime we could get to the shore, we would. And so when I moved out to Michigan 40 years ago, I couldn't wait to get to see Lake Michigan. I'd never been up here before in my life. Came out for the job at the hospital and drove out to the pier and went out there, and I saw this beautiful lake. I couldn't believe how enormous and how large the waves are, reminding me back at the Atlantic Ocean where I'd grown up. And as I was standing there, all of a sudden I realized there's no salt. You'd go down to the beach and that aroma of the salt from the ocean would just fill your senses. It was wonderful. When you got out of the ocean, you'd be covered in it. If you had a cut on your arm or your foot, it would sting. So where's the salt, Michiganders? Don't say on the parking lot. We get a glimpse of where the salt is in our gospel today. This follows just after the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is gathered with his disciples. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." The Greek word for "are" is "you." You really are. It's the greatest compliment Jesus could have given them. He's not saying, "I hope you become salt," or "I'm really praying that you become the light." He says, by being my disciple, you now are the salt of the earth, and you now are the light of the world. Salt was really valuable back then. Now your doctor tells you to get to that low-salt diet as quickly as you can. But back then, salt was a valuable commodity exchanged for other goods. In fact, the word salary comes from the word salt. The Roman soldiers were paid in salt. I'm thinking about doing that here with our staff, but Sue didn't really like the idea, or Mona or Rod, wherever they are. Still thinking about it, though. But back then, it was a valuable commodity. It was necessary to preserve food and all of those things. And Jesus says, you're that in the earth. You're part of daily life and a valuable part of it. And you're light. Light was important then. They would burn oil lamps at the end of the night to fill their dark homes. Well, what does that mean? We have to look back at our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. We're at the end of the prophet's writings. And the Israelites have returned back to Jerusalem from exile. So they're back in Jerusalem. And the prophet Isaiah says, you know, now that you're back, you've really got to live as God's people. And if you want your light to shine, then feed the hungry. If you want your light to shine, then clothe the naked and shelter the homeless and bring freedom to the oppressed. And do not forget those who you're with. Isaiah is calling them to live a life of response to others rather than ourselves, of taking care of those people in need. It is a call of the prophet to being just, as we hear in the beautiful Psalm, Psalm 112. The just man is a light in the darkness to the upright. And as the prophet Isaiah calls God's people to be a light, Jesus builds on that with his disciples and said, can you be that light? Can you be the salt? Because you are. But he does condition it, doesn't he? He says, if salt loses this flavor, what? It gets trampled underfoot. And if you take a light and put it under a bushel basket, which is the most absurd thing to do, I don't encourage that at home, it's useless. So Jesus says, are you willing to radiate the light that you've been given? We baptized three babies yesterday here. And as I've spoken before, part of the beautiful baptism rite is we light a candle from the Easter candle, the Christ candle, and hand it to the family and say, this light is entrusted to you, parents, and to you, you little child, to be kept burning brightly. How brightly is that light burning in our own lives? Are our computer screens brighter than the light of Christ which we're called to radiate? Are we willing to step out of the comfort zones to take care of those in need? In a world, in a society where everything is us and them, where we easily dismiss people and set people aside because they don't think or look or act like us. The prophet and Jesus says, if you're willing to be the light, if you're willing to be the salt, then act that way and speak that way. Isaiah says, no more malicious language. It's not acceptable. And it isn't acceptable from a disciple of Jesus either. And so we're called to be changed by our relationship with Christ. And Jesus says, you are. Not you're going to become, but you already are. The challenge for us is to realize that and to live it and to speak it and to act it. But we fail, don't we? And that's why we come back, so that Jesus can remind us again of who we are as disciples of him. And he calls us to this table to receive what we need, to find the strength and the courage to be that salt, to be that light. His body and blood is given to us here and now to go back into the world. It just takes a small flicker of a flame to shatter the darkness. It just takes a little bit of salt to flavor the world and all that we're part of. Let us be that salt. Let us be that light and shine.